are so grateful for each and every one of the women in our church. You do bless us in so many ways, in so many different ways. And just, you bless me. And thank you. I want to say thank you. Whether you're a mother, we celebrate with you, as this video said. And, you know, I think Mother's Day can be one of those days that can be a challenge as well as be a wonderful celebration. And you may experience both of those at the same time. And we just wanted to recognize that, but we want to recognize that regardless of where you are in your life stage and what your background is in terms of relationships, you are special to us, and we are grateful for you. And we pray God's richest blessings on you in the days to come. And it fits really well. I think this topic is so great, and it's so wonderful that as we're doing this sermon series on what it means to be blessed and what it means to be a blessing, that exactly in the middle of that comes Mother's Day. And, you know, we've spent the last 2 weeks as we've gone through this series, and we are literally right in the middle. And we've spent the last 2 weeks talking about what it means to be blessed. What does blessing, what does that word really mean? And my hope is that now every time you use that word, whether you're like me and you sign your emails or your letters with the words blessing, that you'll think about what you're really saying with that. That that's not just some kind of automatic thing. It's not something where you're hoping that people get stuff. That it has a much deeper and much more important meaning. That we mean that someone is being used in your life, or that God is using something in your life to transform you to look more like Him. And that in turn, being a blessing means we share that experience. We help people. We experience God. We experience who He is and who He desires for us to be. And so I hope that by now we're thinking that way. That we don't think about blessing perhaps the way we've thought about it in the past. And we just have used it as another word for saying grateful. But it's so much more than grateful. Blessing, when we say, I am blessed, we are saying much more than I am grateful. I am grateful for what? It's wonderful. We need to be. Gratitude is one of those aspects that we need to continue to work on. But being blessed is something very different. And so as we think about where do we go from there? Because now that we've established what it means, what the definition is of blessing and what it means to be blessed, now I want us to take the next steps. Because the next steps are, how do we apply that? What does it mean for me? And over the next couple of weeks, I want us to shift away from defining the word and then go into applying the word. Specifically, I want to look at those things that God uses in our lives to produce His blessings in us. And so the sermon title today is titled, Blessing People. Now, it's kind of one of those little play on words. Blessing people. And that is going to mean two different things. One, it's going to be the people who God uses as blessing. And then it's going to be, who are we blessing as people? And I want us to go to 2 Timothy 1:3-7, which is the perfect scripture, I think, for today. And it says, I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers day and night. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. What a great passage for today. Now, Timothy, this is the one who Paul is writing to. The letter is addressed to Timothy. And Timothy was a young man. He was a native of Lystra, which is where he met Paul. And he became a disciple of Paul's, going with him on his missionary journeys, being a part of those journeys. And Paul and Timothy became so close that at one point, we read in the second chapter of Philippians, Paul writes of him, "I have no one like you." Now, we don't know a lot about Paul. We don't know whether Paul was married. We don't know whether Paul had children. But with Timothy, we know that that relationship was so close that Paul felt so close to Timothy that he says, "I don't have anyone that's like you." Who's that person in your life? Who's that person in your life that you would say, "I have no one in my life that's like you, that can share with me the things that are important to me, to you, that we share those things, that we work through things"? That sometimes Paul was very direct with Timothy and encouraged him even to the point of saying, "This needs to happen in your life." We see that even in this chapter. So Paul was very direct, but he was loving, and there was this relationship that they encouraged one another and they helped one another. They blessed one another. Now, Paul eventually leaves Timothy in Ephesus in order to lead that church. And that church, and tradition has it, that Timothy was actually the first bishop of the city of Ephesus. And he lived in that city until he was 97 years old. And when he was, at least according to tradition, the tradition is that at that point, there was a pagan celebration that was going through the city. He was well known in the city. And there was a pagan celebration, and Timothy took to the street and preached against that pagan celebration, and they chained him, according to tradition, to a horse and drugging through the streets, and then stoned him to death. So Timothy was someone who Paul loved greatly, who he trusted greatly, who encouraged him and who he encouraged, who was truly in Paul's life a blessing, and whom also was blessed by Paul and his ministry. And so that helps us understand this passage a little bit. Now, this is the last letter that Paul ever writes. And when you read 2 Timothy, you'll find that it is probably the most personal of letters. He's in prison in Rome, and he feels certain that this will be the last time he has a chance to write someone. And so he writes Timothy with these words, and we know for a fact that actually this was the last letter, and that Paul himself was killed soon after writing this. And so when he encourages Timothy, we look at encouragement in how he is to interact with people, what it is that's important to Paul, and we can find the essence of what it means to be a blessing. And so he calls Timothy to do two things. One, he calls upon Timothy to remember. And we need to remember, we need to recall and remember blessing people. That is, who are the people who have truly been a blessing in your life? They've played a key role in your transformation as a follower of Christ. Think for a minute. Just take for a second and think back over the years and think about who are those people that in your life, if Paul were addressing you and he says, "Remember, think about these things we've experienced together. Think about the things that have gone on before." When you think back, who are the people who were blessing people for you? They were people who God used to help transform your life to look more like Christ. Who are those people? Specifically, in Timothy's case, Paul mentions Timothy's mother and his grandmother. They blessed Timothy by pouring their faith into him. Now, Timothy's family was an interesting family. His mother was Jewish. His father was Greek and was not a believer. His mother and grandmother evidently had come to faith, but his father was a Greek and was not a follower of Christ. And so we know that it has been the influence of these women in Timothy's life that has made such a huge difference. Verse 5 says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. We are all indebted. Every single one of us, if you are a follower of Christ, someone has played a role in you. Someone has played that role and been a blessing person to you. And we're indebted to those people. There are people whose faith lives in such a way that it impacted us. Do you remember the first time you met that kind of person? It's a life-changing experience. Whenever you meet someone who actually lives out their faith on a daily basis, whenever you encounter someone who, no matter what comes, they run that through the filter of their faith in God. And if you remember the first time that you met someone like that, if you're like me, the first time you go, well, that's interesting. I've never met anybody like that. Let's see. Okay, so this is just me. Let's see if we can push it off track. Let's see if we can help them do something different. Let's see if they're consistent in this. Whenever I became a believer in college, and so I was old enough to cause trouble. And did. But when I first met that first person who was consistent, tried to live their faith in every single aspect of their lives, my first goal was, well, let's see if we can stop this. Let's see if we can kind of push them just enough to make them lose that faith that they seem to have. And the amazing thing was, you couldn't. It didn't happen. They were consistent. They lived it out in every aspect of their life. And no matter what I did, they came back with love. They came back with blessing. It changed my life. Who's that person for you? Maybe it was when you were young. Maybe you grew up in a family like that. I did not. But maybe you did, and maybe that's your background would be. You could say, with, if we were writing the letter to you, we could write that same thing and say, I saw this in your family. I saw this in your mother, in your grandmother, in your grandparents, in your family. I saw this, and it was a sincere faith. It was a faith that was not just something that was, well, we go to church occasionally, or when it's convenient, we live out our faith. But it was something that was sincere. It was a part of every single aspect of that person's life. And because of that, you are never the same. Your life was changed. Now, I want you to do something today. I want you to think about who that person, or at least, let's say, two people. I want you to think of two people, and I want you, if possible, to follow up on those two people and let them know that they were a blessing to you. That because of them, because of the consistency, that there was a sincere faith in their life. And because there was that sincere faith in their life, you were changed. God used them to bless you. They were blessing people in your life. And maybe they're still around and you can write them a note. You can call them. You can contact them. Maybe you're going home after the service with one of them. And God, I think, would use that in their lives if you were to say, like Paul, remember those people who are a blessing and to recall them and say, you blessed me. I remember I became a follower of Christ in college, and then in my later years in the university, I actually started working on a church staff. And it was a church staff. I was at Baylor University, and it was outside of the city of Waco, and it was a small church, and I was the youth minister. If ever there was a mixed match, that was it. They were so patient, and we had some struggles. The pastor and I had a few struggles along the way. But there was a church secretary, Donna. And no matter what, she helped me learn what it meant to be a minister. She helped me. She was always joyful. Now, not always happy. but always joyful. And there is a difference. And she was always joyful. Even in the times in which she was sad, she was joyful. And she was always joyful, and she always approached things from, you know, this was long, even before the what would Jesus do days. But she always filtered everything that she did through the filter of what would Christ have me do in this setting. And I learned so much more from the church secretary than, let's be honest, than from the pastor. Probably happens in this church as well. I'm okay with that. You have blessing people in your life. She was a blessing person in my life. She was a blessing to me. And God used her to change my life. And hopefully you have benefited some from what Donna invested in my life. She's gone to be with Christ already, but I wrote her son this week, who was actually in my youth group, bless his heart, lived to tell the tale. So I wrote him this week and I said, I just want you to know how much your mom meant to me and what a difference. She was a blessing in my life. And he said, he wrote back and he said, I can't tell you. He said, there is rarely a day that goes by that I don't think about my parents. Both of them have passed away. He said, but I can't tell you how important that was for me to hear this week. Take the time. Write. Call. Speak. But tell someone how much of a blessing they were in your life. And then the second thing, if we have those people who are blessing people in our lives, and we need to recall them, we need to think about them, but also there's the question of being blessing people. What would it take for us to be the people who someone else remembers? Down the road, someone else is in this same kind of conversation and says, I remember this person. I remember you. I remember the time we spent together, the talks we had. I remember you. And maybe it's your family, maybe it's children or extended family, but maybe it's someone in this congregation, maybe even after the service, some of you need to say to other people in the congregation, you blessed me, you're a blessing person in my life. But the question is what will it take for us to be that kind of person? What does it take? What is it that God calls for us to be and do in order to be crucial in the spiritual formation of another person? And I can tell you that it is intentional. It is intentional in that we will never do it if we are not intentional about our relationship to God. Because, see, that's much more important. It's not as much, now we need to be intentional about being this for other people, but here's the truth. You can try to be intentional about being a blessing person in other people's lives, but if you're not intentional about being in a living and thriving relationship with Christ, it doesn't matter what you do out here. Because it's not about being nice to people. It is not about being kind to people. It is about spiritual transformation. And that happens when we are in a thriving relationship with our Savior. And when He is transforming our lives and we're intentional about allowing Him to do that, then we can't help it. Here's the truth. I don't think Donna knew what she was doing. I don't think Donna had any idea that she impacted my life so much. But she loved Jesus. She loved Him with all of her heart. And because she loved Him with all of her heart, it transformed her life. And because her life was transformed, then she reached out in ways that transformed the lives of others. So the first and foremost thing we have to do is it has to live in us. Let's go back to verse 6. It says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. You have been blessed. So fan into flame the things which God has placed in you. Make Him your number one priority. The way you fan into flame is you focus on the one who is the fire. He is the fire. We don't produce the fire. He is the fire. He is the one who indwells us, and that is the flame that dwells within us. And as we fan, we give him the permission, the room to work. You know, if you are, we have some people, I know you. You like to start fires, right? Boys. Yeah, see, Andy, there you go. We go out, I mean, you know, you get a group of guys together, and the first thing they think about is, want to start a fire? I don't know what it is, but it's true. You know, it's just, you get a group, we're standing around outside. If we're outside, and sometimes if we're inside, but if we're outside, eventually, if we stand around together long enough, it will come up. You want to start a fire? But here's the thing. A fire needs two things. It needs fuel, and it needs oxygen. It needs room to breathe. If you're going to have a really good fire, you've got to have fuel, and you've got to have that oxygen. And the same is true in our relationship with God. And God gives us the fuel through his word, through relationships with others, through encouragement, through Bible study, through being together in different things that we do. But the truth is if you close God off from any area of your life, it's like throwing a blanket over the fire. So where is it in your life that you're closing off? Because it's impossible to fan into flame something that we've closed off to God. So what is it in our lives that we say, God, you can have any other area. I'll do all the stuff, but just don't expect me to open that up to you. But see, that's exactly what needs to happen. If God is going to fan into flame, we have to open up our lives to him and allow him to breathe into us that oxygen that brings the flame. We are called to be blessing people. We start close, the people we see on a daily basis, and then we move beyond that. You know, it may come as no surprise to you. The Barna organization recently did a survey. And it may not surprise you, but there is no other person in the life of a child who has the potential for impacting the spiritual life of that child more than a mother. Mother, 70% say their mothers, some of the incredible statistics, moms are the foremost partners in prayer, 63%, conversations about God, 70%, the Bible, 71%, other faith questions, 72%. Our mothers have that opportunity. So the question is obviously, are we using those? Is that flame roaring inside of us of spiritual transformation so that the opportunities, moms, you're wonderful, and you have so much more to teach your children than just the things about life like tie your shoes. It's important. Where your heart is even more important. All of those things are opportunities that mothers have. But it's important that we don't miss verse 7 that says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Live out of that. You know, I think all of us, and moms, maybe this impacts you sometimes as well. All of us, though, are impacted and stopped from being blessing people by one thing in particular. Fear. Fear stops us. Fear stops us from being blessing people. We have that opportunity, and as mothers, as fathers, as little brothers and sisters, or big brothers and sisters, cousins, whatever, work colleagues, we may miss the opportunity to invest in the lives of others because we're afraid, and sometimes we say things like, well, I don't want to push this too much. That's code, by the way, for we all know it. We just never admit it. That's code for, I'm afraid, and I don't want to get into this situation, and so I'll just say, well, I don't want to push things. But what we really mean is we're afraid. We're really afraid of what might happen if we step in and live out our faith in that way. Now, we obviously don't need to be so pushing of our children that they reject the faith. But I doubt that's the fear. The fear is more of living out our faith in our. We need to be there and live out our faith in a way that is living. We go back to those verses and it says, Timothy, you saw the sincere faith of your grandmother and your mother. So the question is not whether or not we're pushing, it's whether or not we're sincere. In other words, does that word really means it indwells in them in such a way that it takes over every corner. And so the question is, does our faith take over every corner of our lives? And if that's the case, there's nothing to fear. We live out our faith, trusting God, allowing God to work. One last example. Abraham Lincoln is familiar, regardless of where you are in the world. Probably, if you know anything of American politics and the history, you may know Abraham Lincoln. What you may not know is that Abraham Lincoln struggled with whether or not to have faith. He went most of his life without a faith, and then came a day when his father-in-law, Robert Smith Todd, died. And after his father-in-law died, they went into his library and began to clean out the books. And Lincoln was always very curious, and so he found a book, the title of which, I can't make this stuff up. The title of the book was The Christian's Defense, containing a fair statement and impartial examination of the leading objections urged by infidels against the antiquity, genuineness, credibility, and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Holy Scriptures, enriched with copious extracts from learned authors. That's the title. That's not the book. That was just the title of the book. Now, I almost fell asleep reading it to you. But Lincoln took this book and read it and became a follower of Christ. And it is an amazing story that he then, because of his faith, it changed how he approached everything about his presidency. And ultimately, everything that we know him for, the Emancipation Proclamation, the other things, everything comes back to his faith. And it was a faith that someone had been a blessing person in his life who didn't even know him. My point is this. Some of you may despair and think, I don't think I'm a blessing person in anyone's life. If you will live a life in which faith indwells you, it encompasses every single corner of your life, you don't have to worry. The ripples, imagine what the ripples of that step of faith that Lincoln took because of a book that someone wrote that he never met, but who was a blessing in his life. Imagine the ripples across time that transformation has had. So God can use you. It's not about you producing something. It's about you being something. God is the one who will produce it. We just simply have to let him be it. And so the question this morning, are we blessing people? Would you pray with me, please? Father, as we come and ask ourselves that question, whether or not we are being the people who you have called us to be, if we are being blessing people because you have put these people into our lives and we are being so filled with you, and so every corner of our lives we're allowing you to fill and to fan and to flame, And because of that, others are impacted. And even where we might not know it, others are impacted in ways that make a difference for eternity. Father, may that be true. Father, this morning, if any of us in this room simply would have to say, yeah, I don't give God that kind of room in my life, that today would be the day that we make that decision, that today would be the day that we say, I want to be a blessing person. We've seen it in others, and I want to be that kind of person. Father, may that be true of us. Thank you for the blessing people in our lives. What an incredible difference they have made. And we pray this, Father, in your name. Amen.